It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
And Tabula's Seafood Shed.
Who is back up and working and
they're kicking and growling, man. They got it all going on. We're going to have a real big shindig over there Wednesday for veterans because they're having the veterans deal over at the battleship starts at 10 o'clock, and they'll have the Veteran of the Year Award. And then they're not going to have any meals or anything. They had to cancel that. Normally they have that at Fort Whiting after the parade when they have the Veterans Parade downtown.
Right.
So they had to cancel that as well. But
once
we leave the battleship there, after the 10 o'clock meeting there in the pavilion, then we will leave there and go to Ed's. But then the Scuttlebutt Network will be on the battleship from 12 to 2, so I'll be calling back to do some interviews on that. So.
Well, that'll be good.
It's going to be a big old day. I'll be a tired sucker.
So the main Veterans Day event will be going on. Y'all
right.
be on the battleship.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the morning crew, Dalton and Dan, are actually going to be live from battleship as well that morning from 6 to 9 doing their show. So it's going to be an exciting day for the veterans and people in Mobile in our listing area on Wednesday.
Yeah. I tell you, it's been a few years since I've been on the battleship, but been probably 2-3 years ago. And I got to tell you, I was impressed.
That is really unbelievable. You see, they have done so much work on that thing now and got everything painted and secured. And they got, just regular light fixtures and stuff around where you can see a lot of stuff. Where normally those things are, they're kind of dim lit.
Right.
But the generation source that they have there now for the power is just really, really awesome. And plus, they've added a lot of lights, a lot of fluorescent stuff in it.
Right.
And the parts that they have open there. And the general keeps reminding me that she does have her own brig aboard the ship, and it's made just for Marines.
Right.
I said, "Oh, wait a minute.
Just trying
the
to
Marines are supposed to be on the outside of the door, General, not on the inside of the door." Oh, she said, I thought they were supposed to be all of them locked up inside. I said, "No, that's what all you Army people would think, General."
Right.
Sir, ma'am, whatever.
Ma'am, yeah, that's right. Whatever you want me to call
General,
me.
Sir, ma'am. Whatever thou want us to call us, youth.
Exactly, exactly.
What do you call a general, a lady general? Ma'am? Sir? I mean, I don't believe you could call him sir. I just say, evening, general.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Evening, general.
Keep it simple.
If you say too many words, you mess up. So keep it short and sweet. Good morning, general.
You're in deep trouble. Then.
Oh, yeah. Well, if I get over there around her, I'm in deep trouble anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
She said that she has to watch her Marines because she had so much trouble with them when she was overseas with them. She said, all the trouble I ever had was Marines. She said, we kept missing all kind of gear. Said, we lost some trucks and some Jeeps. And said, I'd get me 4 or 5 of my guards and my MPs and go, all right, let's go down to Marine. We'll find our vehicles.
So let's go shopping. Come on. Then.
I said, I said, I was a supply chief. I said, we had 10-finger requisition. And I said, they made me go in as supply chief because I had 20 fingers. I had a buddy that had 2 10 fingers.
That's right. Took a friend with you.
So they wouldn't give us our stuff, so we'd just go find it.
Yes. Well,
if you need it, you got to go find
it. So, that's all right. Yeah, that's all right. But anyway, it's what is this deal? It seemed like every Monday we come in here, we talk about a storm coming this way. Looks like we got another one coming.
We got stormitis.
Yeah. I mean, this is the never-ending tropical season.
Well, I hope and pray that thing, I hope it just goes out there and dies,
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see.
I haven't had a chance to see it this afternoon. We have a report on it. Do you know what they're saying it's going? I heard it was going in somewhere over there around Apalachicola, somewhere in there.
Oh, no, they brought it more this way.
Oh, they have?
We're back in the cone again. So.
And we're in the cone?
Oh, yeah, we're in the cone. So, yeah, it's a last time I saw it, that was a couple hours ago. So
I'm tired of buying water and gas. and bread and milk.
Well, I still got gas. Yeah, you know, bread and water I'm going to have to do again. But, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's just one of the things. Yeah, we'll be all right. It will be all right. Of course, I still got roof damage from the last one. So, yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Okay.
Yeah. At least it can't tear up a new roof. Yeah, that's one good plus, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, hey, it is what it is. But, of course, we're here to talk about cars tonight. So, if you have any questions, give us a call. And then, or text 343-0106. Otherwise, we'll just sit here and talk about whatever we decide to talk about.
Yep.
You know?
But, there you go. Well, you know, I brought up something before we went on the air there about oil lights or low oil lights.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw something on the internet there today or yesterday about it, and it said that people were burning up their motors because the low oil light didn't come on.
Yeah.
And I think most of the vehicles I've been in have some kind of warning signal, don't they?
Yeah, not all of them do. Of course, you know... that's kind of like I told my son about his apartment. You know, that smoke detector is not the timer for his kitchen. Okay, so you know, because every time he cooks, it seems like it goes.
Oh,
but, you know, so, you know, you shouldn't wait for a low oil light to come on to open the hood and check the oil level.
Right, or get somebody to check it if you're not going to do it yourself.
Get somebody to check it. Yeah. You know, you should stop before you get to that point. It's kind of my point there, but yeah.
2,000 miles.
You know, what they've always told us, you're supposed to do it every time you fill up. Unrealistic.
We're not going to do
everybody
that. Yeah.
Nobody's
not going to do that.
Okay?
No.
But, you know, every 1,000 to 1,500 miles, until you know your vehicle, okay, you know, I've had some stuff over the years that I could leave alone, not even crack the hood until it's time to change oil.
Right.
I've had some that I better open the hood and check it, you know.
Well, I had an occasion that happened to me this week. I guess it was Saturday? Yeah, Saturday. Because we went to Chatham and did an honor guard there for Veterans Day. Our Marine Detachment did, and we really enjoyed that. That was neat.
Mm-hmm.
But while I was coming back, I saw something in the road out on the interstate. You know, it looked like a box to me, paper box. And it had a lot of traffic, and I didn't want to dart over to another lane, you know. And there's a lot of traffic behind me, so I said, well, you know, boom, I hit it. Man, I don't know what that was. But it was hard.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, my God, I hope that thing didn't hit an oil pan or something, you know, or a brake line or whatever. So I kept looking at my dash to see if any lights come on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I reached down and touched my brakes a little bit with my left foot and kept the accelerator on. And I still had a good brake pedal. And motor sounded all right. Checked all the gauges again. But I come on in and I got off of the interstate and I pulled over and stopped.
Right.
I got out with my dress blues on.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Rocks and gravel and all. Mm-hmm. And looked to see if I had any leakage, though.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because that thing, if it had hit an oil pan, I'm sure it would have penetrated it.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever it was. I don't know if it was some kind of wood deal or something. It looked like a little brown, small cardboard box.
Right. Right.
So, you know, I didn't think that much about it. You know, if I saw some kind of metal object or I know, then I'd have darted or did something.
Right.
I'd have missed the sucker one way or the other.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, sometimes you have to take the path of least resistance, you know, which you got to, try and hit the smallest object, you know.
Sometimes you just have to pray, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was following an 18-wheeler up. I might have told the story on air. One night was going to Talladega, but I was going to meet some people up at the Lake Martin up there. The night before, and we was going to spend the night there and get up early and go to Talladega.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm riding up through there, and I was in the right lane, and the 18-wheeler come by me, and it seemed like the traffic in the right lane started slowing down, so I just whipped over behind the 18-wheeler. I was about, I don't know, 3 or 4 car lengths behind. I wasn't following him, but I was just there enough to try to pass him once I got on up there or get over to the other lane.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I mean, I was far enough back, and all of a sudden I saw a wooden pallet.
Yeah.
And it came out from under that 18-wheeler between his tires.
Yeah, he could strap it.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
But that came out, and I thought, ooh, aim right. Thank you, Lord. Mm. And I aimed, and I missed that sucker.
Yeah.
Because if it had hit a tire, it would have blown a tire.
Oh, yeah.
But I straddled it, and it went on under the car. And then we go on up. We hadn't gone 10 truck lengths, and here's a flatbed trailer with a trailer load of pallets. And one of the stacks of pallets on the rear, the rope that was tied at or whatever he had on there, had come loose, and half of those pallets, they were falling off going down the road.
Right.
I'm going like, oh, man, you're going to hurt somebody with that.
Yeah. You're laying landmines here.
Yeah, he was. You know, but it scared me because thank God that pallet wasn't one of them big supersized ones.
Yeah, that's the truth. Sound like it's time for us to take a break. We're going to let you hear from our sponsors. We'll be back after these messages.
Story is true, I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. Got a Lincoln motor, really souped up, and Model A body makes it look real tough. Got eight cylinders, use them all, got overdrive, never stalls. A four-barrel car, but dual exhaust.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raven, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. I want to invite everybody to come out to UJ Chevrolet and look around our inventory. We're actually getting some vehicles back in now.
You're getting some 21s in, too?
Yeah, we got some 21s in-house. We're moving through them pretty quick, though. But, apparently people are in need.
I talked to my son today. You know, he sells cars, and he said that he's had – what is it? What's today? Monday. Mm-hmm. Oh, he said since last Wednesday, he's had 3 walk-in customers.
Really?
And he sold all 3 of them, new Beamers.
Yeah.
And he said, too, I bought this X5s or whatever that is.
Oh, yeah. They're
top of the line or something.
Larger SUV.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, of course, you know, there's I'm sure still people, you know, having to replace cars from what was it, Sally that came through?
Yeah, Sally came through. Yeah. He's in Pensacola, so they really got tore up over there. Got lost a lot of cars.
Yeah.
And lost some bridge too, but I think the owner of those barges better have some real good liability policy.
He better have some good insurance because
I think somebody else is going to own that company before it's over with. He's tore that bridge out, two plots in that bridge, and one of the work barges landed up in somebody's yard. You know they're not going to let that barge leave until they get paid.
You know there was like 20 or 22 barges that got loose and went around there and just battered everything in that area. You know, they hit the bridge, I think they said 17 times.
Wow. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, so it did a lot of damage. Mm-mm-mm. So, you know, it's going to be costly, and it's going to take them a while to get that bridge back opened up where you can cut
They're talking
there.
About, so I believe I heard 6 months.
Yeah.
But the other way they're having to go to get to that Dolphin Island, or not Dolphin Island, but Pensacola Beach.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, man. They got to go, you know, way all around and all, and then it's a little two-lane road going over there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to Navarre after that storm and had to go there with my brother and had to go all the way down. I think it's to 87 to cut across.
Right.
You know, it takes you right into Navarre, which is not a bad way to go anyway.
No, it's
but
not.
It's like, don't try the Garcon Point Bridge or any of that stuff. You can't get across there right now. It's too busy. Yeah. But
And every time I see it on TV, they got a wreck somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Somebody's run into somebody and confused and messed up and mad and tore up a bunch of stuff. And so, then everybody's takes them 3 hours to get the wreck cleaned up.
Ain't that the truth? But anyway, we've got we do have a fair inventory of 2021s, the Tahoes and Suburbans. We're starting to get where we have a couple of those hanging around. Most of them are being sold about as quick as they hit the ground, though. We got the new Trailblazer in. We have some of those in stock, and the Blazers and Equinoxes, all that. We're getting a few vehicles in stock.
Well, it's good. I'm glad to see the flow get back out of here
and
get back into the dealership so that – I mean, you'd be surprised how many people work at these dealerships.
Oh, yeah.
How many people y'all got? 70? 70, 80?
around 70, close to 70.
I figured, dealership that big would have 60, 70 people.
Yeah, by the time you get all the departments involved, it's pushing 70.
Well, yeah, when you have a used car department that's as big as some of the local dealerships.
Yeah.
And then you have your own paint and body shop and collision repair center there.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really nice facility that they have. Some good people back there to do that work. I know they're I-car trained. At least I was in school with a lot of them.
Yep, yeah. They made some changes back there and bought some new equipment and doing some really nice stuff back there.
Well, right you now, just about so. Have to now. You know, back in the days when we had the old frame machines that we pulled everything out and we heated it and pulled it and heated it and pulled it, then we heated it and cooled it and let it get back in shape, you know?
Yeah.
Throw a cold rag on it or whatever, make it, pull around. Some of the guys that work on that stuff know what I'm talking about.
And most time now, you don't pull anything.
Oh,
I know. You don't hardly ever use frame machine anymore.
The only thing you do it for is for alignment.
Yeah.
Now the components come off in sections.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is if you have a full framed vehicle, like our trucks, if they're bent much at all, I mean, depending on if they're bent in the center anywhere, you making repair a frame horn or something like that out there where the bumper bolts.
Right, on the ends.
But if it's bent somewhere around the suspension or in the middle of the vehicle, you put a frame under it,
Really?
So, it's not an option. You don't straighten those. You replace them, which, of course, also brings up the issue with your insurance on your vehicles. If you go and you buy the cheapest insurance you can get, and you got your, I think it's $25,000 is the minimum.
Man, don't even go there.
Yeah.
They don't even sell a new car in Apple that's $25,000.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is you get the basic coverage, which is $25,000, liability.
Right.
Well, your insurance will pay that $25,000 to whoever you run into or whatever, but guess who's on the hook for the rest of it? You are.
Yep.
So.
You and whatever you own.
Right. Right. Or everyone own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to be careful on what you get because, I mean, anything you fix nowadays, if you got a fairly new vehicle, it's going to be, if you total it, it's going to be way more than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you've got one of these vehicles costs $40,000, $50,000, $60,000,
$70,000,
$80,000. Right. Any kind of wreck, the next thing you know, you've got, we don't have any $200-$300 hits anymore. I mean, it's like $15,000, $20,000.
Right.
Just for damage, and that might not even total a vehicle.
Oh, yeah. A couple of years ago, I had a Silverado that I hit a deer with, drove afterwards, and it was right around a $13,000, $14,000 repair when we got done.
Yep.
By the time you get into the headlights and the grills and,
fender and door repair. My car's an 04.
Yeah.
And even the headlights on it now, it's cost, it's $300-$400.
Right.
Just for the bulbs. I'm not talking about the lens or anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, you get involved with that halogen stuff, and they got the computer chips and all on them, or the modules, they call it. And you know who makes it? The car manufacturer only.
Right. Yeah. It's not a piece you can get.
No, you don't go to else. You don't go to the unless you go to the wrecking yard and get one off. I'm not tearing or buying something off of a wrecked car.
Right.
That I don't have a guarantee on because when it takes 2 hours to pull a piece apart to put that piece in, and you got to put it back together before you can check it and see if that piece is good. Then you got another 2 hours later, take it back off, put it back off.
Right.
No, I'm going to buy a new piece and put it on there.
Yeah, something I know is good.
I'm not going to be worried about it anymore.
Well, and that's the thing is most of these vehicles, the headlights just don't pop out anymore,
No.
Just to put a bulb in one, can be a major issue.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
You just about got to pull the whole front end apart to get your headlights.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you got to pull the front bumper cover off of to put a headlight bulb in one,
Do you know what it costs to you're talking about costs and things. Now, I love to get in my car, and when it's cold, and I reach over and flip on that little heater that's in the
seat. Heater? Oh, yeah. That's not a cheap thing to fix.
That's what I was thinking to say. Do you want to replace one of those?
Oh, yeah. Huh? Yeah.
The heater wasn't but about less than $100.
Right.
But the labor to pull a whole seat out, take the whole cushion off, was $450.
Right. Yeah, you got to pull the seat out, pull the seat cover off of it, pull the seat padding out.
Oh, man, you got to disassemble it.
You got to take it all apart, you know.
Well, you know.
And that's if you have one, some of the earlier stuff, you know, actually the, if like if you had a leather seat.
Right.
It's sewn into the leather, so you have to replace the seat cover.
Oh, my God. Thank God I didn't have to replace that.
Yeah.
But my little heater works on my little butt now.
Well, it will, eventually we'll get some cool weather, and you'll be able
man,
to use
I'll be able to use my heater. I'm going to use my heater, man.
Yep, absolutely.
Talking about colder weather, though, man, there's an area that we talked about. We actually talked about it, and a lady called in last week, about changing the fluid.
Yeah.
And brake fluid.
Brake fluid, the fact that
she'd had her car to a dealership three or four times or so, and they never even mentioned to her about changing the brake fluids.
Uh-huh.
Even though that she'd heard about it while listening to our show. But now, that's another phase of this that I think we need to talk about, and I'd like to get your professional opinion, car doctor.
Mm-hmm.
What about antifreeze and coolant? What we used to call antifreeze is actually a coolant now.
Right, that's what we call it.
You know,
it's what we have in the more recent vehicles, probably since I don't know, probably somewhere in the mid 2000s, is what they consider a extended life coolant. Is good for 150,000 miles.
Say what?
You
know? Really?
So you don't really have to get, you know, too carried away with, worrying about it, you know, until you get deep into the life of the vehicle, you know,
or
so it's not
a
big problem.
Or unless you had a leakage or something.
Yeah, or at least.
Well,
that being said,
we always used to take our vehicles to a shop or service station, or we had bought our own little coolant checker.
Yeah.
Is that something we need to consider now or worry about now on these vehicles?
Well, you know, as long as you haven't been diluting it with some, you know, water or whatever, or some incompatible coolant, then no, you shouldn't have to worry about it that much. You know, we don't have it degrading to the point to where it's not cooling, you know, not protecting your car, you know, from freezing like we've seen in the past.
Okay.
I mean, it is still a thing. It still can happen, but if it hasn't been diluted, typically we haven't seen where it's been a problem.
Okay, so, all right.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about changing it every 3 years, 4 years, 5 years.
Oh no, just let it go about 150,000 miles. Or just keep an eye on it. But
okay.
We don't see them get dirty like they used to either.
No.
Yeah. So.
Well, you know, I think it has to do with the type of blocks we're running.
Yep. The type of materials, everything that's been run.
Yep.
Yeah. We're gonna take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle.
49 was a good year, man.
Oh, yeah.
I remember it.
Absolutely. But, and speaking of old cars, yeah.
Watch it. Talking about old. You said cars, though, didn't you?
Cars, yeah. I didn't say old farts.
Okay, all right. So. I thought you addressing your sentence to me.
Right. But we got the UJ's 29 Chevrolet out front most days.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's cool.
I bring it in and out. Runs, drives, looks good.
You drive it?
Oh, yeah. They didn't build them things for guys my size back then.
No.
Yeah. They little. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just talking
me,
about
but
that.
That being said, do you get your wife's Volkswagen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Does it turn over?
No.
Oh, it don't
It'll
turn
actually
over?
Move down the road. I don't have to get out and pedal or nothing. So, yeah.
But it looks like it's got two flat tires on the left side, though.
Yeah, most time. That's all right. So, yeah. But that's okay. I don't drive very often.
But, man,
so
when
good.
You a beast, you know, what can you say? Ain't nobody going to stop you and say nothing to you.
Yeah. I don't get to drive it often, so that's but that's okay. I got my toys. She got hers. So
there you go.
It's all good. But now you know, talking about smaller vehicles, you know, older vehicles and how small they were, you know, it's funny because I've got a 55 Chevrolet two-door, and I've had it out there at UJ and just park it in the parking lot and, you know, and walk off, come back, and it's out there amongst some of the newer vehicles. And, you know, this thing is really no bigger than the Malibus or, the little Impalas and stuff that we have now. And you think about those cars being so big, and they're not. They're not that big a car, you know. And, of course, now you got all kind of room inside, you know. But then my 68 C10, you know, parked out there next to one of the new Silverados, it looks like an S10 parked out there.
Oh, I know. It looks like, you know, like a midget car. Yeah. Lego. A Lego car. I mean,
it looks like a little bitty truck, you know.
Yeah. But, well, yeah, but, you know, those vehicles have gotten big.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see that guy that comes on there with that other General Motors product and does that advertising, and he's, you know, he's probably about 6 foot tall, and he's leaning over on top of the hood with his elbow.
Yeah.
I'm going like, damn. I wonder if that's stock tires on there, if that's some kind of off-road tires or something they got on it. But, you know, back then, you know, I mean, you could have laid halfway across the hood.
Yeah.
You know, on these 60 model trucks or something, early model 70s.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden now, these things, you know, look big as log trucks.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I love it because if I'm going to drive one, that's what I want to drive, because all these little midget cars and these little, you know, acting like a car type things, you know. Lego cars or whatever they are, puddle jumpers, I used to call them. They would run under it.
Oh, yeah. You got to be careful with them for sure.
It ain't coming in the windshield after it might go into the door, you know, but it ain't coming in the windshield because it's so dang low.
Yeah, we were talking the other day about, you know, some of the newer cars and all that kind of stuff and how small they, you know, some of the small cars are. But, you know, I've been noticing, you know, with some pretty severe wrecks, you know, with some of the newer cars, it's amazing how well the passenger compartment holds up.
Oh, yeah. It's like a cocoon.
Yeah. I mean, because you can wad one of those things up, and they'll reach over there, open the door, and get out.
Oh, no. You know? It is unbelievable.
And you know, the older cars, they just didn't do
that. Oh, no.
Yeah, they folded up.
No.
Doors jammed.
Oh, yeah.
Steering columns into
break your legs, chest, you know, and your feet and everything. Dash, you know, break your knees and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, everything is designed now. Well, back in the days when we originally used to build race cars, you built it so it didn't, the frame and stuff never tore up.
Right.
You just bent sheet metal.
Right.
Because everything else was so strong. Well, but when you bent that, I mean, it tore something up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what happened to the cars. But now they've got, just like race cars, they've got collapsible areas around that cage, and everything's going to give but that cage.
Right.
You know, that's that part around the driver. And that's what they've done with our street vehicles and our everyday drivers, you know. You see them testing them on these shows where they got these dummies in there. Not me, but a dummy. A real dummy. Well, I mean, I got a wooden head and all that, you know, but I mean, I know I'm a dummy. But anyway, guys that can't say anything, bitch and moan like I do. But, and it does that, but they have sensors on the areas where they're taking pressure and getting compressed, and if it was a regular person, that would have been broke or punctured or, you know, destroyed.
Right.
So I think that's very unique, and a lot of it, they didn't just hit regular head-on deals. They'd hit like a side of the thing, you know, and clean half of the car off, and driver's area would be okay.
Right. Well, and that's one of the worst ways to hit is driver's corner to driver's corner of a head-on collision, because, you know, you in the older cars, for sure, it would drive that tire and the steering column and all right back into the driver.
Right.
It would probably pop the door open. And then you were subject to come out of the car. You know, the glass would come out of the car. Now all that stuff, you know, you're not going to see a door unless it's physically ripped off of the car.
Right.
You know, and it's going to take one heck of a collision for that to happen.
But on most occasions, you could still open it with a latch, though, or the door.
Right.
Handle.
Right. You know, the windshield's part of the structure of the car.
Right.
You know, so even if it gets busted up bad, it's still in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still keeping you inside the car.
Right.
You got airbags everywhere.
Yeah,
now.
If you've in one of the newer vehicles or vehicles last 20 years, I'd say, especially the last 10, with the safety conveniences that we have now. And if you wear your seatbelt like you're supposed mm-hmm. to, like I'm supposed to, right. When I'm supposed right. to, then you're less likely to get hurt.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be thrown out of the vehicle.
Right.
If, you know, with everything being considered, you got this seatbelt on, you're not going to be thrown out of the vehicle.
Yeah.
It would be so rare. It would be less than half of 1% that would cause something to happen to throw you from the vehicle.
Right.
But now, if you don't have that seatbelt on,
mm-hmm.
you're in trouble.
Oh, well, yeah. You know? Well, you still have to have the your seatbelt on.
I mean, right.
That's a key part of the safety yeah. system of the vehicle. It's all about keeping you in one spot. You know, you may notice that the newer cars you're getting, you're more like in a tunnel where your legs go in between the console and the door and the dash and all that. But it's a safer place to keep you from flopping around in the vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, it just, there's a lot of things, but even in the trucks.
Do you know why the seats and back seats in the cars are so much narrower than the front seats?
Why is that?
Do you know where it originated from? This ain't really nasty, but it's the truth. Henry Ford was building the Fords, and they had a big old back seat in them. They call them, you know, big wide back seat. Well, the sales dropped there over about a half a year or so. So he tried to find out what was going on. So he had called all of his dealers and told them to find out why they didn't like this car now. And they said that, well, the back seats were too wide. There was been too many babies being born after the people were driving those cars.
So, after the baby was born, they couldn't afford a car no more. So
they were being used for something else because the right. seat was so wide. So he says, narrow the back seat.
Right, right.
So then all of a sudden, the next year, he come out and had a narrow back seat. So
yep.
It couldn't be used for a bid.
Uh-huh.
Or a quick bid.
Yeah.
Now, what may they call that, a quickie bid?
Something like that.
Quickie
yeah.
bid.
Yeah. Let's see. We do have a couple texts here. Let's see. Let's see. Can you say anything helpful through your time repairing the Hyundai or Kia cars for owners to be looking for? Well, you know, my big thing on any vehicle, and I don't care what kind of car it is, maintenance. You know, just make sure you're doing your maintenance. And I got onto a friend of mine this weekend. He's got a Chevrolet truck, Duramax, in it. And, you know, one of the first comments he said, it's about time for me to get my oil changed. You know, it's back to 25% again. And I said, really, how many miles you been? He said, yeah, it's going on about 6,000. And I said, and he said something about, you know, but if I went by this life monitor on the truck, it would have me do it about every 3,000. It goes, and I reset it, and I go to about 6. And I said, whoa, time out. You got to do what I don't always agree with it when it tells you to go to 7,000 miles before you change oil.
Right.
But if it tells me at 3,000 it's time to change oil, you need to change oil at 3,000 miles, you know. They said, well, I use synthetic. I said, you realize that everything that goes in this truck from day one has been synthetic. So it's basing that on a synthetic oil already. It's using the way you're driving, what you're pulling, the effort it's doing, the temperatures, how often you're driving,
well,
and it's figuring out when you need to change oil.
Well, now, wait a minute. How can the machine technology or brain technology in there tell if that oil is thick or if that oil's got too much carbon in it or whatever?
It doesn't.
Huh?
It doesn't.
So, okay, so what?
But what it's doing is it knows what kind of oil you're supposed to have in your vehicle.
Okay.
It knows how many times you've cranked it cold. It knows how much fuel's been burned through it. It knows what kind of loads it's been under, what kind of temperatures it's been around.
Okay.
You know, it knows all these things, and it takes into account all that stuff, and it says, okay, this is when you need to change your oil.
That damn thing's too smart for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But
and it'll tell
so
you
in other words, it's working off of percentages and set,
right.
set parameters.
There's an algorithm that it's, you know, working off of, and it just tells you when you need to do it. You know, I don't like on my wife's Equinox. If I let it go by it would probably let me go to about 7,500 miles.
Ooh.
I changed
mine.
Have
a heart attack.
I changed mine every 3,000.
Yeah, I know it. You have a heart attack. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Same person.
We don't
here.
Have much time. Well, do we have much time we got?
Yeah.
Okay. You can
see my little cars take some effort. Visiting my 225-pound girlfriend back in 1980 and my 71 MG midget. We had to come to an agreement that she had to get out when we got to speed bumps. But
we bought them out.
Yeah, that's kind of like I was just talking about Big Boy here riding around in his wife's Volkswagen. You know, it's like both left side tires are flat.
Right, exactly, exactly. I understand completely.
And I believe he's a little bit more than that 225.
Yeah, a little over that. A little over that. So,
would you believe 325?
Probably closer. Probably closer.
If you stand 6 foot four, I mean, what the hell?
That's right. That's right. But yeah, it's you know, little cars do take a little effort, no doubt, you know.
I love them. I love those little cars, though, man.
You'd be surprised how well you can fit in some of these little things.
You know, I love those little MG midgets the Triumphs.
Mm-hmm.
Those fine cars.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I like those little cars.
Buddy's got an MG, MGB. And,
B, good car.
It's a little fun little car to ride around.
It is.
A bunch.
They're swift.
Yeah. Yeah, fun little.
They don't have a big old motor in them, but they're swift.
Yeah, yeah.
A buddy of mine's got a Sunbeam with them. I don't know if he's got a 289 or a 302 in it, but I think it'll scoot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like it's time for us to take another break, and we're going to be back after
it's
these messages.
Nap time.
Yeah.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. I know we had a caller there at the end of that last segment if you hung up, but give us a call back if you have something to comment. But let's see, we do have another text message here. How come most engines run like crap when starting cold, especially most of the older vehicles? And a lot of the newer vehicles I've experienced start up revved up so high that I have thrown them in gear just to keep them the engine from running that kind of RPMs until the fluids have time to circulate. I also have a brand new $5,000 riding mower that you would think was a piece of junk until it warmed up. So when they invented the engine, how did they know they had a winter with them running so bad until they warmed up? Kind of irritating. And I feel you there. You know, it's it's something we don't fight as much as we used to.
Right, right. Back in the day, with distributors and carburetors, we had a lot of problems.
Right. It was a constant battle to keep the carburetor and choke adjusted to where it cranked and ran properly when it was cold. And the real battle was, okay, I can make it run great when it's, you know, 60 degrees outside in the morning when I go to crank it up.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it's 30 degrees outside, that choke may be too tight even, mm-hmm. you know. Or if it's 90 degrees, it's not tight enough and it's going
to
stumble.
It looks like they would have figured out a way to set a choke manually due to the weather temperature, you know, your outside temperature.
Right, you know. But it's, you know, if it's set properly, most of the time they run great.
Yeah.
You know, but it is a lost art, and you know, I don't know that the mower people have really gotten to that technology how to make them run right when they're cold. I got the same issue with mine, but it's it cranks, it runs, it does what it's supposed to, so I just don't worry about it. But you know, the fuel injected cars, they do keep the RPMs up, and sometimes it seems like it's a little too high, but normally it's not too bad, but the oil, that's kind of the point in the thin oil that we run in our vehicles nowadays, is that when you crank them cold, it can flow and do what it's supposed to do with the low clearance, you know, that we have. Yeah, so you know, it's all taken into account. But we do have a caller online. Caller, what can we do for you?
Oh,
yes
sir. Hold on. Let me turn the radio down, bro. Hold
there you
on.
Go.
Anyway, I bought a nice real late model four-door Jeep recently from a dealer in Mobile. I just wanted to ask you, I went in for my first oil change since I bought it, a little over 3,000 miles, and it was the oil change place found that there was no filter in the air box at all, no air filter.
Really?
Whoa. Take so much pride in my cars I have all my life, try to service them and keep them, you know, and put change right. oil, but I just wonder, it'd be nice to know if anybody else had that problem, you know. It's just, that's kind of a, that kind of made my day, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it did. You know, and that's, you know, nobody's perfect, you know.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, I know most of your reputable dealers, especially the new car dealers, will take, and a lot of your larger independent dealers, you know, used car dealers, will put your vehicles through a pretty thorough inspection. I mean, I know our guys do a very thorough inspection on ours. Not to say that they don't miss some things once in a while, but, you know, I feel pretty confident that they're going to check an air filter, and it wouldn't get put back together without one. But,
Well, it happened. Well, I just want to let you know, it's a new car dealer, you know, nice.
Yeah. You would think somebody had to take it out because it's going to have one in it when it comes from the factory.
Right.
Because when it comes down that assembly line, somebody's standing there to put that filter in.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you're right, too. And they told me they put it through a good check and, you know, it was, had a few miles on it. And so I got a, you know, lower than, you know, I paid 40 instead of 50 for it. But anyway, I just wanted to see if you'd ever run across that before, because that, I mean, you know, just breaks your heart. You know, you get your pride and joy in the almost brand new, and they don't even put an air filter back in the damn box.
Yep. You'd like to get your hands on that Yahoo.
I'd like to. You know, at least alert them. I'm going to alert them that it happened to me. I don't expect anything.
And that's the big thing is you need to – I encourage people to let us know when they find something, you know, that we've missed, if it's us or whatever dealer, you know. You know, we need to know because you know, if it's happening in our place, you know, I you know, I've got 16, 17 guys – there's no way I can keep up with everything everybody does. So, you know, if there's something going on that I don't catch, I need to know it, you know.
You're exactly right. Going to do that. Let them know, and that's all I can do. But I just, if you don't hear of it that much, then it's not a chronic problem, you know, somewhere. You know, and the other cars have been, the owners have seen the same thing. But I appreciate Yes, sir.
All right. I appreciate you calling in.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that to our attention because, you know, we haven't heard of that.
Yeah.
And it's nice, you know, it's not nice to know that it happened, but it's nice to know that you took care of it and you're letting us know that it happened.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, appreciate it.
I appreciate your courtesy.
All right, buddy. Thank you. A blessed day.
But, you know, and like I say, you know, things shouldn't happen ever.
No.
You know?
Hell no.
But I mean, I've seen stranger things. You know, you're in the middle of doing a service, and maybe you had the air filter out. You had in the air boxes sitting back there. You thought you put it in, so you went ahead and got called away. Then you came back and you finished bolting it down and sent it out the door. You know, it should never happen.
It shouldn't
if
happen.
Everybody's paying attention, you know, the key thing is. Does the dealership step up and take ownership of it?
It's like, I got called out one time to go inspect an engine that a guy had pulled out of somebody's vehicle that was messed up. And he said, well, I just had it worked on 3 months ago. And he said, it seems to me, I don't know what's going on with it now. And the guy took the intake off and here laid a shop towel in there.
Yeah.
You know, a cotton shop towel, and it hadn't gotten eat up in the lifters and was messing around with the lifters and the push rods and kicked out a couple of push rods.
Yep.
You know, so, you know.
It can happen.
The guy that worked on the motors is the one left the shop towel in there.
Right.
You didn't get it through a tank of gas, you know
no,
what I mean?
No, no, no. You know, I have actually.
That guy got mad at me, and he don't even want to talk to me anymore. But you know what? Hey, it wasn't my shop. It wasn't my employee.
Right.
And I had to call it like I saw it, you know.
Oh, exactly. You know. Well, you know, and I pulled the intake off one time that had shop rags all down in the intake, you know, or in the Lifter Valley area.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And it looked like someone had put an intake gasket on it, and they put the rags in there to catch any trash or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, they just missed a step in getting the rags out whenever it happened. Well, yeah, it did burn the motor up because, you know, that oil can't flow back through those rags when it gets up to the top, you know.
Yeah.
So it's you gotta keep your eyes open and
stuff happens, you know.
It does.
But you know, nothing, you know, everybody's not perfect. You're gonna make a mistake every now and then.
So. Oh yeah. Yeah.
But the only one that was perfect, we put him on a cross and drove nails in his hands and his feet. So
I don't
think none of us have reached that point.
No. But it sounds like we're running up to the end of our show here, but I do want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show, and I appreciate our calls and text messages tonight.
Yes, we do. Yes.
Hopefully everybody keep your fingers crossed that we don't end up with a storm in our backyard this time. Yeah. Right.
Amen. We don't need another storm.
They've been hitting all around us. I'm over them.
And this Wednesday at Ed's Seafood Shed, we'll be having a big veterans event over there. If you're veterans, come over and join us and be flying your colors. All you guys that are servicemen know what that is. And get you that bowl of gumbo free. And also, when you get ready to pick up your ticket, let them know that you're a veteran and get your 15% discount.
Yep.
Great people doing a great job. They love their veterans.
Yep. I want to thank all of our veterans for sure.
Amen. So. Veterans Day. Hoorah. Took her home the day that she was.